This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, one of the most intriguing books that I've seen, it's a serious book, but yet I find myself, it's terrible to say this, laughing when I read it. It's called The Worst Case Scenario Survival Handbook. Anybody seen it? Where all these worst case scenarios can happen to you. It's written by Joshua Piven and David Borgenit, which is a German name. And here are some of the chapter titles. These are real chapter titles with pictures and a 4 or 5 page description of what to do in this situation. The one that grabbed me was how to jump from a building into a dumpster. I haven't done that since college, and that's just a remarkable thing. How to escape from quicksand. Do people really need to know this? How to escape from quicksand? How to maneuver on top of a moving train and get inside? That may help somebody here today. Who knows? How to wrestle free from an alligator. How to take a punch. That could help you at your next family reunion. Now, this is one that I found intriguing. How to land a plane. And they take 5 pages, small pages, not 8.5 by 11, smaller than that, to tell you how to land a plane if you're ever in a situation where the pilot passes out. I just find that intriguing. And then the funniest one to me is, because how often would this happen, how to deliver a baby in a taxi cab. And that's, they give 5 pages of how to deliver a baby. And I was thinking about that book. There are people that would at least casually interest them. But we're all people that want to know what to do in situations. Most people are. Well, what do I do in this situation or that situation? And Jesus deals with it in a passage of scripture we study today in Luke, where he says, you people pay attention to the weather. And you're very observant about what the weather means, and this means this in the weather, even back then, 2,000 years ago. But you're not perceptive about what's going on in the world today. And I think he was referencing the end of the world and his coming again to claim his own. I really do, and we'll talk about that. It's in the Gospel of Luke. I'm going into chapter 12, the last part of chapter 12 today. Verse 54. It goes like this. Jesus said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. But when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Meaning, when I'm on earth, the Son of God is on earth. Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate or the judge, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Jesus is talking about being aware of the times of the day, the times they were living in, and the fact of being aware of the fact that he, the Son of the living God, was on earth. And he wants you and he wants me to be aware of the coming of the Lord. I think this is about the second coming of Christ. For years, I honestly believe that all Jesus meant by this passage was getting along with your neighbors and being reconciled. I think that's a part of it. But I think the ultimate message is be reconciled to your God. We'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. Now then, today, part 2 of a message we began yesterday from Luke, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 54. Let it speak to you today in a powerful way. It's a powerful message from Jesus himself. For years, I honestly believe that all Jesus meant by this passage was getting along with your neighbors and being reconciled. I think that's a part of it. But I think the ultimate message is be reconciled to your God. when the time comes, the most important thing is not that you're reconciled to people at work, people at school, people in your neighborhood, that ultimately you've been reconciled to God through the Son. I want to tell you a story by Max Lucado, who we quoted in the visual story a minute ago, tells us about evaluating our lives and evaluating relationships. If this passage says anything to me, you and I need to evaluate our lives. Where are we in 2017, personally with other people, and where are we with the Lord God Almighty? He says, I want to tell you a story about a friend of mine named Mike. He said, my friend Mike tells how his 3-year-old daughter, Rachel, lost her balance, hit her head against the corner of an electric space heater. She cried just for a few seconds, and then she passed out on the floor, out cold. Her parents rushed her to the hospital, where the test revealed a skull fracture. Pretty traumatic for a child, pretty traumatic for anyone, and pretty traumatic for mom and dad. Rachel was kept at the hospital for a while for observation, and then after a few days was sent home. She spent a couple of days understandably quiet. But Mike said he knew she was going to be okay the morning he heard her talking to herself. His bedroom door was open, her bedroom door was open, and he said he could hear his daughter Rachel identifying all the dolls and the stuffed animals in her room. They all had names. She was taking inventory of all her dolls and all her toys and giving, this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so. That was her world. That was her world as a 3-year-old. Now, Max Lucado, as only Max Lucado could do, says this, let's follow her lead. Let's take inventory of our lives. Let's take stock of our relationships. Think for a moment about the people in your world. If you want to write names down on a piece of paper, he says, go ahead. Your husband, your wife, your children, your teachers, your friends, your parents, your coworkers, your carpool buddies, whoever it may be, give it some thought. Who populates your circle of the world? As names surface, let me whisper a reminder to you, Max says. Aren't they valuable? Aren't they essential? Aren't those relationships worth whatever it takes to keep them healthy? Granted, people can be difficult. You can be difficult. Surprise, surprise. You can be difficult, he says. But still, what's more important than people? And then Max writes this. This is really powerful. Think of it this way. When you're in the final days of your life, what will you want? When death extends its hands to you, where will you turn for comfort? When you're facing death, will you hug that college degree in the walnut frame? Will you grasp it and say, this means everything to me? No, of course not. Will you ask someone in your family to carry you to the garage so you can sit in the car one more time? No, you won't. Will you find comfort in reading and rereading your financial statements and your stock portfolio? No, of course not, he says. What will matter will be people. If relationships will matter most then, why don't they matter now? Listen to that question again. It's very thought-provoking. If relationships will matter most then when you're at death's door, why don't they matter now? Jesus said in verse 58, as you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, he's talking about an imaginary court situation where maybe there's a lawsuit. Try hard to be reconciled to the person on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. I have a footnote on my NIV Bible that says the word Greek word for penny is lepton, L-E-P-T-O-N. Found out it's the lowest coin, or was the lowest coinage of the day. It was less than a penny. And that you'll have to pay to the last tenth of a penny, is what Jesus was saying, exaggerating to make a point. And yet for years, I told you earlier, I thought this was strictly about relationships, and it is. But more than that, as Jack Hayford of Van Nuys, California says, this is about our relationship to the Lord. We've got to be in a right relationship with the Lord when we die. And the most important advice I could give you, I could give myself, is that what difference does it make if you were to be on good terms with everybody on the earth, but you don't know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, what, the beginning and the end? He's everything. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you realize that if those statements are true, is there anything in the world that you can think of or I can think of that's more important than that? Think about that. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, if that statement's true, and only if it is, what in the universe is more important than knowing that person? Nothing. There is absolutely nothing more important than coming to know him. Annie and I have made a casual acquaintance with a woman from Mumbai, India, who works at our local supermarket. Every time I see her, I talk to her about India, because at the end of the month, I go to the Southwest India, to Kerala, to speak and preach there. But I'm embarrassed to tell you this. I haven't, until yesterday, told her why I'm going. She just thinks I'm going to India. Maybe he's a businessman, whatever. But it was yesterday that I said, I'm going to preach the gospel to India. Not knowing, I know she's Hindu. And so I didn't know how she would react to that. Annie can verify this happened. We were a number of feet away from her. She came up to us after we were finished transacting the business as a cashier. And she came up to us and she said, I just want to tell you something. Since you told me you're going to preach, she said, twice in recent weeks or months when I've been praying Hindu prayers, I've had a vision of Jesus. I've seen Jesus in front of me. And I don't know what you think about it. It doesn't matter what I think about it. But let me tell you something. It tells me that in some way, in some shape or fashion, is it possible the Lord is revealing himself to this woman? And I told her that. I said, I think it's particularly true with people from a Hindu background and people from a Muslim background who share experiences. How did you come to Christ? I saw him. I had a vision of Christ. And I know that to some people, you know, we raise our eyebrows at that. But you know, the Bible in Corinthians says, no man or woman calls Jesus Lord except by the Spirit of God. Is it possible, just asking the question, is it possible that the Lord is revealing himself to her? Well, my friend, have you ever felt the Lord was revealing himself to you through his word, through his Spirit touching your life? This message continues tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website is crosshope.org. Well, yesterday on CrossHope, I ended with part of a story about Annie and I meeting a woman from India who told us both that she has seen the face of Jesus in her Hindu prayer time twice in recent weeks, a vision of Jesus in her mind's eye, so to speak. We speculated about that. Is it possible the Lord was revealing himself to her? Let's talk about it. You see, I could have all these intellectual discussions with this woman from India, and I could reason with her, and I could use my brilliant logic to convince her she needs to come to Christ. What's more important than Jesus revealing himself to her? Isn't that true? I believe that. And so I'm praying for her. And I have a whole new awareness as Annie and I have conversation with her at the store. Here's a woman who says, twice in recent weeks, I've had a vision of Jesus in front of me. Or seen his face. And she was excited about it. She was actually excited about that, even though raised in a Hindu background. The Lord reveals himself to people through his word. The Lord reveals himself to people through people like you and me. Did you know that? That the Lord can use you to reveal himself to a friend, a neighbor, or a relative, one of your children? It's a sobering responsibility when we know that. I want to talk to you about this passage in a personal way. You may be good at reading the stock market. You may be good at reading the weather. You may be good at reading people and situations. Some people are excellent. They have social intelligence, emotional intelligence. They can read situations and they can read things politically. But what does that matter if you don't have a right relationship with the God who made you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Somebody asked me one time, what's the most important thing you preach about? And I thought that was an interesting question. And then it dawned on me, it all boils down, everything that I say, everything Mike says, everything we teach and preach boils down to one thing, who Jesus is. That's all that matters. Either He is who He claimed to be, or He's not. Either He is the answer to your problems, or He's not. Either is the hope for the world and hope for the future, or He's not. And the most important thing I do is to call people to make a decision about who Jesus is. So everything I do is decide that Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be. Because if He is, I not only have hope for next week, I have hope for all eternity. And so do you. This is a passage I have to confess to you I've never preached from before. Never. I've never preached, so I want to read it to you again. Verse 54, He said to the crowd, Jesus did, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. You hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. He's talking about eternity without Christ. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about hell. We live in a culture that what doesn't mind talking about heaven in an ethereal way, but don't talk about hell. You know why people don't want to hear about hell? They don't want to hear about accountability. They don't want to hear that I'm going to stand before a holy God. My sister, Sandy, and her husband, Gene, used to live in Pittsburgh. And one of the ministers of the church where they attended in Pittsburgh was a woman by the name of Carolyn. And occasionally, my sister would send me sermons of their ministers at their church, and I would get Carolyn's sermons occasionally, as she would speak maybe once a month. And I wasn't prepared for the story I was going to read about reconciliation. Here's what she wrote. She said, shortly before I was adopted at age 4 and a half, my natural mother remarried. My stepfather did not like me. And although he wasn't physically cruel to me, he went out of his way to make life miserable for me. Isn't that sad? He went out of his way to make life miserable for me. For years afterward, I remembered my stepfather's hostility. Now, I remember, too, the fact that they had kept their infant son that they had together, but they gave her away. Isn't that interesting? They kept an infant son that her stepfather and her mother had together, but they gave her away to another family. So one day when I'm 27 years old, that little boy, now a grown man himself, found me. He said that his father, my stepfather, had become a Christian, and he was dying of cancer. All these years he had remembered his actions toward me, and now before he died, he wanted to come and ask for my forgiveness. And he wanted to do it on Christmas Eve. Can you imagine the drama of that? Your stepdad wants to meet you, and here you're working at a church. I want to come at Christmas Eve. She says, all of the details of that night are still vivid in my memory. His coming, his asking for forgiveness, the change in him. But most of all, I remember the change in me, Carolyn says. He had been remade in my memory. Spiritual surgery was complete. Starting over was now possible. Neither one of us really understood what was going on, but we didn't have to. There were still loose ends to be tied up, the questions left unanswered, the future still uncertain. And there was always the possibility of more pain and more hurt and more forgiving. But we had begun where we were. Now, I'll read all of that just to read this last sentence. Sometimes I'll use a story
And all the purpose of the story is just for you to hear the last sentence. That's what the deal is with this story. Here's the last sentence. The grace to do this came from God. The grace to do this came from God, but the decision was ours. I find that interesting. God gave us the grace to do it, but God gave us the power to make the decision to do it. That's a word for somebody today. God's willing to give you grace to do something, to forgive somebody, but you need to make the decision. I need to make the decision. Do you follow me? You see, you don't have the capacity, and neither do I, to forgive people. You rarely hear a preacher say that. You don't have what it takes to forgive. I don't either. You never did have the capacity, and neither did I. It comes from God. He gives the grace. We make the decision. There is hope in the one who was born in Bethlehem. And there is hope in the one who came and said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I have come to bring healing. I have come to bring blessing. And everything that you call life, I'm the source of it. Everything you call life, I am the source of it. And his name is Jesus.
Well, my guess is you may need to hear this message again. You have somebody that you know you'd like for them to hear the message. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening to Crosshope.
You've been listening to Crosshope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries Incorporated.